This morning, as part of our family series, we're thinking about grandparents, which some of you perhaps think doesn't apply to you yet. Little do you know. But a few verses from Psalm 112. The psalmist says, "Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man or woman who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. Their children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their house, and their righteousness endures forever." And we're thinking this morning about grandparents, and we're going to apply that to each one of us. Because what we're going to say about grandparents is true of parents. So if you're a parent this morning, it's true of you. It's true of all of us who want to follow God. So if you want to be a God follower this morning, it's true of us as well. And this morning, it's what God is saying to us about how to make a difference in the lives of people around us. And I think it has special application to grandparents, but it has just as much application, perhaps, in the situation that you find yourself in this week. So, Father God, as we come, we pray that you would help us to hear your voice in the midst of all the voices that we hear. We thank you for this morning, where we've been able to remind ourselves of your sacrifice for us, that we might have this relationship with you. And now we pray that you would help us to be reminded that this relationship we have is not just for us, but it's for those around us as well. And so, Father God, I pray that you would speak to us through your word this morning as we think about what it is that you're trying to do in our lives. And in a very special way, Father, we thank you for grandparents this morning. We thank you for those who occupy that role with their biological children and grandchildren, but also those who occupy that role with others in their lives for whom they're fictive kin, their adopted family. They're those who just play that role in the lives of others. And Father, we just pray that you would speak to us this morning and encourage us in how we can more aptly do that. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we have been doing this series on the family, we've gone through all kinds of different parents, husbands and wives, singles, even talked about sex for a Sunday. And now we're talking about grandparents, and we've moved from remembrance to not so much remembrance. And this morning, we kind of chose All in the Family as the kind of TV show that kind of reminds us a little bit of what we're talking about this morning, and you figure out why in a second. But if you remember that show, and some of you are old enough and some of you aren't, but it was a show about Archie Bunker, the lead character, and Archie Bunker was this loudmouthed, uneducated bigot who believed in every stereotype he's ever heard. He was married to Edith, who the quite description is sweet, but not the sharpest knife in the drawer. They and their daughter Gloria and her husband Mike all lived together in this working class home in New York. Unfortunately for Archie, he can't avoid the people he disdains. His son-in-law, whom he calls Meathead, is an unemployed student of Polish descent. The Jeffersons next door are black. Edith's cousin Maud's a feminist. And his partners in a local tavern are Jewish. And Archie had a problem with every one of them, if you remember the show. There was a show, this one I remember probably for this morning, is there's a show where Mike and Gloria, the kids, tell Archie and Edith, the parents, that they're going to become grandparents, that the kids are going to become parents. And so Mike and Gloria go to Archie and Edith, and they say to them, Gloria's pregnant. And Archie responds, pregnant, he says. That's such a harsh word. He said, the Bible says she was with child. It's the only time Archie ever quotes the Bible, as I recall, in that show. And he says, she was with child. Isn't that so much more beautiful? And Meathead, who's the son-in-law, who always liked to ride Archie as much as he could, says, well, how do you feel about knocked up, Archie? And it was that thing, and then, we got to the picture there where the little baby was born a little bit later. But this whole thing about grandparents is that grandparents in our world, we're grandparents, Don and I, but our grandchildren live in Vancouver, in Chilliwack, so they're nowhere close to us. In biblical times, grandchildren were closer. In biblical times, you had a house which was sort of on a bit of land, usually, and when your son got married, you would just build onto the house. You'd build on their little house somewhere in the compound, and they would move in there, and When they had kids, the grandparents would often help out a lot, at least grandma would, which allowed all the kids to work. You know, the parents needed to work to support the family. And so you would have this very tight community. And for our friends from Africa and our friends from the Middle East or Asia or South America, you know, pretty well that's, you know, a three-generation family is not unusual. It's getting less unusual in our world, I think. But there's this tremendous strength to having these grandparents that are integral parts of the lives of the kids and the grandkids. Since the Industrial Revolution in the West, which kind of broke up the family and brought people into the city and then people chased jobs, that is all broken down. And I think there's a special bond that happens between a grandparent and a grandchild. I mean, for one thing, if they're not all living in the same house, you get to spoil them because they only come over every once in a while. And they go home at some point, which is spoiling you. And, you know, it's this quiet that descends on your house if you've ever had grandkids. And there's the day-to-day disciplining is the kid's job, the parent's job, whereas the grandparent just gets to do all the good stuff. And there's that verse in Proverbs there, children's children are a crown to the aged. But even parents are the pride of their children. And so here's how the sermon's going to go. It's really only got 2 points. Each point has 3 points, so there's 6 points. But the first thing is just there's some benefits that we have of being grandparents. And here's where, you know, if you're not a grandparent, listen in. These are the benefits you need as a parent. And if you're not a parent, listen in, because these are the benefits that you need as a Christian who's in community with any kind of, whether you live in a family, whether you have roommates, whether you are at school or whether you're at work or wherever it is that you're part of a community, you need these three things in your life, because I think God wants to put these three things in everyone's life. And out of those three things, there's three things that we can do. And those three things are crucial for grandparents, but they're also crucial for parents, crucial for others. And so, in a special way, it's grandparents, but in another way, it's what we're all seeking to end up at. So what are the benefits of being a grandparent? Well, one of the not benefits is stuff doesn't work as well when you get older. You know, your body kind of starts to wear down. My mind, I don't remember things as well. I can't do the things I used to do. I don't actually know for sure that I am remembering accurately that I could ever do them, but now I think I could, and I can't anymore. And it's just dealing with loss. That's part of what aging is. You lose your hair, you lose your mind, you lose all those good things. But there's also advantages. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. And one of the advantages is wisdom. And Proverbs 16:31 says, gray hair is a crown of splendor. It's attained in the way of righteousness. Gray hair is a crown of splendor. It is attained. In other words, someone is going to give you gray hair. And that's when you're a grandparent, it's usually the kids. And, you know, some of us hide our gray hair under a bushel. We hide our wisdom. But what the Bible is saying is that wisdom is an important part of what God wants to give us. It's one of the benefits of being a grandparent, hopefully, is that we're beginning to become wise. And I would define maturity as growing older and wiser. Now, some people are old before their time. You know, the wisdom hasn't cut in yet. But when it comes to wisdom, God promises it to us. And here's what wisdom is. Here's my simple definition. Wisdom is applying God's truth in a specific situation. So it's not knowing stuff. That's knowledge. That's a separate deal. It's applying God's truth in specific situations. And the challenge with the Bible is that it's fairly situation specific. You read a story and it's about somebody and it says this, or you read a thing and it says that. But you can find another verse that kind of nuances off that, that kind of adjusts that in a way that says, well, maybe that isn't absolute. And the thing about reading the Proverbs is the Proverbs are, these are usually often true, but not always. And I think the Bible is trying to help us see that it's not a rule book and it's not a textbook. So, you know, like 60% of our people this morning here, if you're an adult, you know, you're an engineer, a geologist, or a nurse. You know, that's pretty well covers a lot of you. And then some of the rest of you work in other fields that are similar to those. And what that has is you have books in your library that can tell you things that are true. If you're an engineer and you're designing a building, you need to figure out how thick does this truss have to be to hold up the weight with the stove and all the rest of it. There is a book that will give you a formula that will tell you what that is. If you're a nurse and you're trying to figure out stuff, you know, or a doctor or whatever, and you're trying to figure out what is the shot that I need to give and what's the stuff, there's a book that will tell you what to do. And it's easy to transfer that to the Bible and say what the Bible is, it's a book that tells us what to do. It's a rule book that we just need to look into, and if we look deep enough into it, we will find out everything we need to know about what to do. And here's my fundamental belief. My fundamental belief is that is not what the Bible is intended for and is not what God wants, because what God wants is us to use the Bible as a set of principles, but how you apply those principles in a specific situation is why we have a relationship with Him through the Holy Spirit. And what God is trying to do is through the Holy Spirit give us the wisdom to know what is the right thing to do in this situation. It's why we have this reliance on God's presence and His relationship with us and His Holy Spirit, because we don't have a rule book that just tells us what to do in every situation. It gives us principles, but how we apply those in the moment is God's Holy Spirit, and it's called wisdom. And I think what wisdom means for a grandparent or a parent or a friend is that we give wise counsel, which isn't that we tell people what to do, is we try to help them hear what God's Spirit is telling them to do. That's why some of you leave my office going crazy when you come asking for advice, because I give very little advice. My kids would disagree, but I give very little advice because I don't want you to hear from me. I want you to hear from God. And wisdom is learning to hear God's voice, not being told what to do by a book or a person. And the second thing that comes out of that then is experience. The second thing that older people bring to the table is experience. Whatever we're doing, it's not our first rodeo. We've been around this tree somewhere before. We've experienced something like it somewhere before. If you ever read Agatha Christie, she has a character called Miss Marple who solves murder mysteries, because small English towns are just like deadly places to live. And there's always these murders going on, and she's solving them. And she solves them by figuring out that everybody reminds her of someone else that she knows. So she meets someone new and that reminds her of someone else, and that gives her an insight into their character, which helps her solve the mystery. And I think that's what experience is. It's seeing that I've seen something like that before. And that's what age can do for us. As we get older, we begin to see that there's patterns. We begin to see that, oh, these things work in different ways. One of the things I like doing is the New York Times crossword puzzle. When I first started doing that, I didn't realize there were so many patterns. For example, in a New York Times crossword puzzle, Monday is the easiest, Tuesday's harder, Wednesday's harder, Saturday's impossible. You got to know that pattern is there. The other thing is every crossword has a theme, and there's going to be clues that answer to a certain theme. Sometimes it's the same word. Sometimes it's a pun. Sometimes it's whatever. I was doing one a couple of weeks ago, and there was a series of words in there that said, what is a commuter? It was a strap hanger. And then you had strep throat, strip mining, strop eraser, E-I-O. There is no S-T-R-U-P, so they couldn't put a fifth one in to complete the vowels. But you began to see, oh, okay, there's a pattern to this. That helps me complete the rest of the puzzle, because I know it's going to be some kind of play on that kind of thing. And I think when we begin to see God, our lives, and begin to experience God, we begin to see that God works in patterns in our lives. Now, I don't know if this is new to you or not, but this is crucial stuff, and it's two halves of this. First of all, God works in patterns in our lives, and as we start to get older, we start to see God sort of works in the same way. But here's the other side of it. He doesn't work in anybody else the same way He works in you. So what happens is God knows our personality. He knows that some of us, at the first hint of a clue, we're going to be off and running, and others of us, we got to have the entire plan before we ever leave our seats. He's going to deal with us differently. He knows that some of us have all kinds of faith. We'll just go out there trusting everything's going to be all right. Others of us need to know that there's a couple of things in place. He's going to treat us all differently. But He's going to treat us consistently. So He's not going to treat you the same way He might treat your friend or your neighbor or your spouse. You have different personalities. He's going to deal with you in different ways. The patterns will look subtly different. But I do believe what experience has taught me is that when I look back at my life, I see God sort of deals in the same way because he knows how I hear him. And he begins to allow, I start to see experience, I start to see the pattern. And I think that's one of the things that we get to see as we get older is we begin to see the pattern that God is working out. And when we get wisdom and we get experience together, it gives us perspective, which is the third point. The third thing God does is for us as we get older is he brings wisdom and experience together to give us perspective on the future. In the Psalms, there's some very comforting verses that life isn't always easy, but God is always present. In Psalm 46, it says, God is our refuge and strength, our ever-present help in times of trouble. We will not fear, though the earth seems to give way and the mountains appear to fall into the heart of the sea. One of my favorite verses is Psalm 37. It's one of these gaining perspective. When I was young and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. And one of the things that comes out of wisdom and comes out of experience is this perspective that God is present. And that whatever's happening, we begin to see it within the patterns of God at work. And I think those three things then give us three opportunities, three things that we need to be doing. This is grandparents' primary work. This is parents' work as well, but you have other things you need to be doing. And this is all our work, in a sense, with other people. But there's three opportunities that come out of that. And the first one is simply this. We get to bless people. And we can bless people through our words or through our actions, but it's just amazing the difference that blessing makes. I mean, have you ever had a time where you've been sort of discouraged and someone has come to you and they've just come alongside you and they've just encouraged you and said some positive things and maybe helped you see some things that you hadn't seen before? And you just kind of leave that conversation going, wow, that was encouraging. Now think of that with God's Holy Spirit poured into that. The difference that makes when God's Spirit is there and God is directing that. The difference that it can make when we bless people is I think it just has a couple of things. It deepens our relationship with someone. You know, you're not the same after someone has blessed you in a way. It releases God's power in us. It raises that person's spirits. There's all kinds of benefits to blessing. And it's one of the things that grandparents need to be able to do. And every letter in the New Testament that's written has a blessing in it somewhere. Jude is the one I chose, but I could have chosen any letter of Paul's or Peter's or John's. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy to the only God, our Savior, and then he blesses God a little bit as well. And it's this whole idea that we can make a difference in people's lives by simply blessing them. The second thing is that we can model for them what life is all about. The righteous lead blameless lives. Blessed are their children after them. Well, sometimes we don't lead blessed lives. You know, sometimes their lives aren't, as we look at them, very perfect. Paul wrote to Timothy, I didn't put that verse in your notes, I guess. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you. Timothy got his faith because it was modeled by his grandmother and his mother. And hopefully by the time we get to the age of being a grandparent, we've learned a thing or two. And hopefully our lives are the combination of two things. And those are learning about God through experience and through the Bible, with some suffering thrown in the side. And we model for others what it is to live for God in the real world. Because living and having experiences changes us. Charles Spurgeon was a great preacher at the end of the 1800s, 1900s, and he went to hear this other. There was a new up-and-coming young preacher that was in London at his time, and he and his wife went to hear this young guy. And his wife walked out, and she was just overwhelmed by this guy, and she said, "Wasn't he great?" And Spurgeon just kind of looked at her and said, "No, he was good. But when he suffered a little, he'll be great." And I think there's this just idea that when we get to be, I don't know, I look at the older saints, and I realize I'm getting older myself, but I look at the older saints, and I look at some people who I just sense have just this presence of God about them. And there's this gentleness that's there with an immense strength. And I kind of ask myself, well, how do they get that? And I think how you get that is that they've learned to walk with God, and they've experienced suffering and challenge, and they've allowed God to touch them through that. There, you know, if you you take mud and put it out in the sun, it gets hard and it gets brittle. But if you take a pound of butter and put it out in the sun, it gets soft and it gets, well, if you leave it there too long, it's really soft. But the question is, you know, why is the sun different? Well, it's the same sun. It's the same experience. It's just different things react different ways. And I think when we go through the struggles of life, sometimes it makes us hard and brittle. And sometimes it softens our heart with God. And I just kind of wonder that as we experience life, how we allow God to impact us through that makes a huge difference in how we impact others. And it's this whole idea that we need people in our lives who have experienced things, who realize that when we experience things, that's not the end. It's not the climactic moment. Life is not going to end at that point. And that through that, God is going to change us in some ways. Because here's a crucial point, is that God, when he came to work in our lives, came not only for us, but he came for us to make a difference in the world. And we need to be able to come alongside those who are also going through struggle and be able to help them see that that struggle has an end. And out of that struggle can come some very, very positive things. And it takes us to our third point, which is the way we are at work in people's lives is we need to be a non-anxious presence. And the question comes, how do we act in people's lives in the midst of challenge? Well, I think the one thing that we need to do is to learn to be a non-anxious presence. I come back to this again and again because I think it's crucial. I mean, the first thing God says is don't be anxious. You know, there's all kinds of verses in your notes there. Cast all your anxiety on God. He cares for you. Don't be anxious about anything, but everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Present your request to God and he will hear you. But the question comes, well, what if you can't do that? Question comes, what if anxiety is a part of your life? Some of us have clinical anxiety. We need medication for that, and that's a good thing to take. Some of us just go through experiences where anxiety is a big part of that, and we just get overwhelmed by life. Jude says, be merciful to those who doubt, which I include anxiety within. And here's my thing. I think if you are going through a struggle or a challenge, you need someone in your life who's a non-anxious presence who's with you. And I just define non-anxious presence as, well, it's the combination of two things. When people go through challenge, often we don't know what to do. We get overwhelmed by the emotion in there or whatever's there, and we just step back. We don't mean to do it, but we don't know what to say and we don't know what to do. And so we step back and we're no longer present. The other thing we do is sometimes we see our kids going through stuff or our grandkids or a friend or whatever, and we step in and we try and fix it. We try and get in there and we try and offer good advice. I think we as men, if there's a tendency among men, it's that we love to fix stuff. And we love to fix our wives and our kids. And I think, you know, sometimes someone is expressing something and all they want to do is express it, but we get into that Mr. Fix-It mode. And I think sometimes on the other side, those who are feeling, which can be the women in our group, but not always, these go so easily both ways. But if you're a high feeler, what you do is you just can't stand all the emotional energy that's in that thing. And you need to step in and just try and do something to lower that tension. And sometimes all we're called to do is to be present. And not to be anxious doing something, but just to simply come alongside. And through blessing and through modeling, let them see that God is there. And we get into this with our grandkids. We want to fix everything so that their lives are easy, forgetting that the tough things in our lives made us who we are. Or we do this with our adult kids when they run into financial troubles or other kinds of troubles. We try to step in and fix it, forgetting that it was those things that made us who we are. And somehow we need to find this non-anxious presence to allow them to find perspective and strength and take the hard step of going through the learning themselves so that they can become closer to God. And that they can learn to depend on God to be present rather than us to fix and to take them out of that situation. I don't know where you are this morning, but I'm guessing there's a few hurting people in our midst. And you're maybe asking yourself, where is God? I keep asking and I he's not answering and his timing is not good. And maybe at this moment, God is just being a non-anxious presence in your life. He hasn't left you. He's just not doing what you think he should do because in his wisdom, he knows that you need to learn to go through some stuff. Because going through that is going to make you into the person you need to be. It's going to be the sun softening you and changing you and learning to trust and depend on him. It's going to give you the wisdom and the experience that will give you the perspective that you need to live out your life. And maybe this morning the fact that God isn't answering your prayer the way you think is not because he's not there and not because he doesn't care, but because he's being a non-anxious presence in your life. And maybe this morning God is just trying to help you know that you can trust him and rely on him and believe in him. And he will be there. And though the mountains seem to fall in the rest of that verse, he's still there. And he's still in control. And it's why we need to learn to do that in our kids' lives. It's why we need to learn to do that in our grandkids' lives. It's why we need to learn to do that in our friends' lives or our schoolmates' lives or whoever it is that's in your world at this point. Our instinct is always, how do I fix that? And there are times where that is the right thing. But there's many more times where the right thing is, how do I just come alongside and help them hear God in the midst of this? How do I help them develop the wisdom to know what to do themselves? Wisdom that only comes through the experience. Wisdom that only comes from having a fresh perspective. Wisdom that only comes because we come alongside and we model and we bless. And through that, we help our friends. We help our family. We help our grandkids. Well, that's sort of the thing. I think that's what is the benefit of age? Well, the benefit of age is we have wisdom and we have experience and we have perspective. Now, we don't have it all and we're growing in it still. But because we've been around the block a time or two, some of those things are building in. And it's what each of us needs to build into our lives because that's what we need to be able to truly help people in this world. We need wisdom to know what to do in the moment. We need experience of God, knowing that when we feel something that isn't always true, and we need perspective on where do we go from here. And out of that, we can come alongside people and we can bless them. We can model for them what the godly life is like. And the important thing about the godly life is sometimes the most important thing you can model is how do you handle failure. Sometimes we think as grandparents we have to be perfect. No, we're not never going to make it. We're always going to fail. But how do we fail? David was a person after God's heart because when he failed, he came back to God. Saul, when he failed, ran away from God. Adam, when he failed, ran away from God and hid. What we can teach our kids is how to model. We can model for them is how to fail well. That when we fail, we come back and we confess and we ask forgiveness and we start afresh. And when we can do that, I think, and we can be that non-anxious presence in people's lives, just living this out, then I think God can use us to make a huge difference in the lives of those around us. And so as we close, we're not going to sing a closing hymn today. We're going to just invite you to pause for a moment. And I just think somehow God has been speaking to you about something. I don't know what it is. Maybe you're going through something challenging and you've been asking yourself where God is. Maybe you have someone else in your life that's in a challenging situation. You've been trying to figure out, how do I fix that? Maybe you've something completely different from all of that. Maybe this morning you're just trying to figure out, well, who is this God that loves me so much that he would give his son to die for me, but loves me so much that he won't fix all my problems, but forces me to grow through them to become a person of faith. Whatever it is this morning, we want to give you just, 30 seconds, a minute of just, we turn the lights down a bit and just be quiet. Just hear God for a second or two. Maybe you want to stay longer and just have a conversation. Maybe this morning you need prayer about something. You just need God to, just need someone to pray God's presence and power into your life. Maybe this morning you just need to learn a little bit more about God, and we have elders who would love to pray with you if that's it. But this morning, let me invite you, just take 30 seconds or a minute. Just allow God to speak as the music starts to play, and then feel free to get up and come on out and have coffee and get about your day. God loves you. He has a wonderful, wonderful desire to grow you. He wants you to grow in your wisdom and your experience with him and your perspective. He wants you to be able to bless people, to be able to model for them what a Christian is, to be able to be that non-anxious presence in their lives where you bring his presence and his power into that situation. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. And Father God, we just pray that you would help us to hear your voice this morning. Help us, Lord, to see you at work in our lives. And Father God, I just pray that you would help us hear your voice this morning. We thank you for all that you're doing. Father, continue to grow us and to make us into the people we could be, that we could make a difference in the lives of those around us. For us as grandparents, that we can make a difference in the lives of our adult children and grandchildren. For parents, that they can do this in the lives of their kids. And for each of us, that we can do it in the lives of our friends as well. Father, thank you that you are at work in us, that we can make a difference in others' lives. And we just pray that you would help us do that in Jesus' name. Amen.